Hello and welcome to the Maths Movie Reviews Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Perkovich. This is episode number 594. Releasing March 29 in theatres across the US is Asphalt City, a gritty drama that follows a rookie paramedic who is taken under the wing of a veteran who guides his young partner through the mean streets of New York City. Starring Ty Sheridan and Sean Penn, Asphalt City is an uncompromising and haunting portrayal of life on the front lines of a broken healthcare system and the psychological and spiritual impact on its paramedics. And joining me now is the director of Asphalt City, Jean-Stéphane Sauvoir. Jean-Stéphane, thank you so very much for your time today.
Nice to meet you and nice to be here.
After I watched the movie, the first question I wanted to ask you, when I watched Asphalt City, has really strong religious symbology in the film. One of the things that really stands out to me is the picture of St. Michael the Archangel in Ollie's room. What I wanted to know was, did Ollie himself, the character, put that photo up, or is that something that came with the room? I was really curious about that.
I mean, it was an idea with Ty Sheridan, you know, to work on his character as a kind of angel, or Michael before he become an archangel, you know, what he has to face, you know, he has to deal with death and life. And he has to kill the devil. That's the kind of image of the Archangel Michael, you know. And we thought it was kind of interesting for the paramedic, you know, to have this kind of reference in his life. And that's his goal. You know, when you start this job, you want to save life and you want to be stronger than death. And we thought for this reason, you know, the Archangel Michael was interesting to deal with because it's a movie of chaos and hell and city and noise and stuff. And we wanted to add this kind of more spiritual aspect of it, and that's also to get the point that there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. It won't be like dark, but hopefully, you know, this angel gonna open his wings, you know, and save people. That was kind of the journey I was attracted to, because that's what the story is about. You know, it's about this guy Cross. You know, he needs to. He's new to the job. He's a rookie, and he's gonna pair with a seasoned paramedic. And he's going to have to face the violence of our world, kind of, you know, the social violence. And because if you call 911, you know, it's because you are in a vulnerable situation and you need help. And this guy, they come trying to save life and help people. And that's what the film is about, you know, about this kind of world we are living in. And also about these guys who wants to save lives, but sometimes they have also to understand they have to save their own life because they can be damaged by the violence they can see every day, you know, if you are in the back of the ambulance. And we did this with Ty Sheridan, you know, and Sean Penn. And I did like for almost 2 years, you know, kind of ride along in the back of the ambulance to see this kind of reality. And you see it's a tough job because every day you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to be able to save life or not. And you have to live with it and go back to your house with it. And that's what also the film is about. And that's why the Archangel Michael was interesting for us, you know, to add to this kind of story.
Ollie's character has a jacket, and the jacket has wings at the back of it. Was that jacket something created for the film, or did you find that and then add it in the movie?
No, it was created for the movie. We created this. We couldn't find really the perfect, jacket, so we had to do it. With the wings.
I think it goes down in the pantheon of the great movie jackets myself. It joins Travolta's leather jacket and Saturday Night Fever and Ryan Gosling's jacket in Drive. I think that's one of the great movie jackets. So I really appreciated that.
We talk about this. It was funny with Stan. You know, you say some movies, you really remember the jacket or the Taxi Driver jacket, mm-hmm. or the James Dean jacket. You know, it's funny. And we thought about it. We thought it would be interesting to have something specific. Because I know for some reason, yeah, when on great movies, you know, you remember the jacket of the character, you know, and that's why we try, you know. I hope we achieve this, but I'm not sure.
When you first came into contact with this story, Ty Sheridan was the person that first came to mind for the character of Ollie. He's a remarkable actor, especially in the fact that from such a young age, he's already worked with Malick and Scorsese and Schrader. And now he's working in your movie. What was it about Ty that really spoke to you as an actor that said to you, this is Ollie, this is the person I want to front this movie?
There is the first one who came to my mind. You know, I thought like Otay would be perfect. I really like him as an actor. I didn't know him at this time. And I thought for different reasons, you know, I thought it was really important for the character to be really young. And Tai looks like young, you know, like innocent and stuff or whatever. So I thought it was really interesting because that's what the film is about also. How from an innocent guy, you know, how suddenly he's going to be confronted to more violent situations. He's a middle-class guy, not from the city. And there's a lot of background, you know, coming with the character, the Shannon Burke character, the Cross character. So I thought it was perfect, you know, for this part. And I said, okay, I need to convince Ty. So I took a flight, you know, and I went to see him. He was shooting in Utah at this time, you know, the night clerk. And I said, Ty, I really want to work with you on this movie. And we really immediately kind of liked each other and respect each other and wanted to do this film together. And he was with me from the beginning until the end, you know, as an actor and then as a producer. And he became really involved into the story. And I love Ty for that. You know, he's an amazing actor. He's a great human being too. And that's the first quality for an actor, is to be a great human being.
Sean Penn, one of the great actors of his or any other generation, fantastic in this movie. How did it come about that you got him for the film? Because from what I understand, when you first approached him, he had retired from acting, right? This was pre-COVID when you first approached him. So how did it come about that you finally managed to snag him and play this role in this movie? Because he's just fantastic as this kind of mentor figure in your film.
Yeah, it's the same. You know, Sean for me is a great human being. He's not just an actor, a great actor. He's also a great director and great activist. And he's really involved in everything he's doing. And I thought that's what I really respect also in actors, you know, when they are like this kind of background and they are like, you know, that they're a great human being. And I think Sean was really interested also to portray this kind of community and the paramedics and to show, you know, how it could be difficult. So when I first approached him, you know, he said, we were in contact because he watched Johnny Mad Dog, one of my previous film, and when he was doing The Last Face, and he said, oh, I love your movie, and we were in touch. And when I got the book, I said, Sean would be the perfect guy, you know. So I called him and I said, Sean, you know, I have a project. I would love for you to do it, you know. And he said, no, I don't want to act anymore. You know, I might do my film Flag Day and I'm tired with acting. I said, you can't stop, you know. I mean, he said, no, yeah, really, I would love to work with you, but I don't want to act anymore. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a long training and stuff. And I'm not in the mood, you know. And then he said, but I would love to meet with you one day. You know, if you come to LA, please give me a call. So after that, I said, okay, I need to go to LA. I need to convince him, you know. So I called him back a week later. You know, I said, Sean, yeah, I'm coming to LA. You know, can we get a coffee together? And he said, yeah, where are you going? You know, he said, I'm going to the hotel. And how long are you going to stay? I said, I'm going to stay for a week. He said, please, if you want, you know, come to my house and we can hang out together, you know, in my house. And so I spent like 1 week with Sean in his house, you know, discussing about the movie, discussing about life, discussing about this job. And we became friends. And it shows also the generosity of Sean, you know. So then he invites you, you know, for a week staying with him. I couldn't convince him at this time. He said, really, I don't want to, but I'm going to help you to do this movie. And then the time passed, you know, and then you try to with different actors and stuff or whatever. And then the pandemic. And then during the pandemic, he worked a lot with his NGO, you know, CORE. And he was doing this program in LA, doing vaccination with the LA Fire Department. So he was involved with all these people, this community, the first responder community. And suddenly he also realized, you know, how great these people are and how little we know about these guys. And when I called him back, you know, after the pandemic, I said, okay, we're going to start the project again. And please, do you want to do it? He said, yeah, this time I think I'm going to do it because I'm ready for it. And I really want to do this movie. And I'm glad he did it because he's an amazing actor, an amazing human being, and he's incredible in the movie.
The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Fandango. Get the latest showtimes, guarantee tickets, browse Rotten Tomatoes scores, and watch trailers with Fandango, the number one movie ticketing app. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by TeePublic. TeePublic is the world's largest marketplace for independent creators to sell their work on the highest quality merchandise. With over 1.2 million designs, TeePublic is sure to have something you love. The Matt's Movie Reviews podcast is brought to you by Gift Card Store. Australia's leading provider of gift cards, Gift Card Store offers a variety of prepaid MasterCard and Visa cards in physical or e-card format. You can even design your own card as the ultimate personalized gift. With Gift Card Store, you can gift the gift you know they will love. Please support Matt's Movie Reviews on Patreon. Get access to exclusive content, request movie reviews and top 10 lists, and help support my work. Please click on the Patreon link in the description below. I know Sean likes to do intense preparation for his performances. You mentioned before you did a ride-along in Brooklyn for a couple of years. Did Sean and Ty do something similar to that as well? Did they hang out with paramedics, see how they go and went about their day-to-day business? What type of preparation did they have for these roles?
Yeah, they both did this kind of preparation. Sean first, you know, in Los Angeles because he knew the fire department, so he started training there. And then Ty came to New York, and we did some ride-along together. And then they came, both of them, you know, before the shooting, like a month or two before the shooting, and we did a lot of ride-along. And they had also session trainings with paramedics because they really wanted to be exact, you know, and details and stuff about every how to do an IV, how to intubate. All this is kind of difficult. And I remember Sean told me, you know, and during the movie, it's okay. We shot, you know, 23 days, so it's a short, you know, so I'm going to have the time for that. But it can be 1 year of preparation to be a seasoned paramedic. And he was really involved and immersed. And so it was funny to see him in the back of the ambulance going and riding along, you know, in Brooklyn and learning everything, you know. And Ty did the same, you know, they were really, really, really involved. And it was difficult for them because I like to shoot, you know, long shot, long sequence shots. So from the beginning and the patient and then until the end. So they had to carry bodies. I mean, get out of the ambulance, carry the bodies and go back to the ambulance. One shot. So sometimes it's 10 minutes. So you basically, for a paramedic, it's kind of easy. For an actor, you have to learn exactly everything, you know, how to get the stretcher out, how to do the IV, how to do everything. And they play this kind of game, you know, and it was great because I like, as a director, you know, when you shoot a scene, I like to believe to the scene. I say, okay, that's realistic. Now we can shoot. So we shoot mostly 360 with the people, the chaos, because I think also to keep the rhythm in a movie, in a scene, you know, if you want to keep this kind of emergency with them, I think it's important to do one shot. And also because like this, everyone is focused on it. The actors can be more focused. The DP is focused because he has to follow and stuff and being really precise, you know, and actor, they have to do everything in detail. So that's how we shot the movie. And I'm glad I had Ty and Sean, you know, already involved in this kind of stuff because it's more difficult for them, but I hope that gives also the kind of sense of reality and authenticity of the movie I really want, you know, and the immersive kind of also approach of the story.
When it comes to authenticity, is it true that a lot of the calls, a lot of the emergency responses that we see in the movie, are they based on actually things that happen in real life?
Yeah, based on real life. I mean, I experienced most of the call, you know, then I had to shoot in a movie, you know, and beside of the pregnant woman and stuff, some specific calls from the book from Shannon Burke, you know. But most of the call, yeah, that's the reality of the job. And for me, I feel like as a director, I'm just here to translate the reality. So I need to be inside the ambulance, live this kind of experience as the character, and then trying to be able to recreate this, you know, as a film director. But if you haven't been inside the ambulance and just recreate because of what you think could be interesting for the movie, it's different. It's a different approach. You know, I like the reality in the sense of trying to understand this reality because people can say, oh, it's dark and stuff. Yeah, but that's the reality. So you can do just an entertainment, you know, about this kind of calls and job and stuff. They are like dealing with death and life every day in the back of the ambulance. They are living in, you know, a cube like this. And some people can survive, some people can't. So imagine if you are in the back. And that's much more difficult as watching a movie when you watch, you know, they are like trying to walk on someone with a heart attack, you know, and they can't. The guy died, you know, and you have his wife, for example, who's here and saying, please, please, please. And she can understand that the husband just died in front of them. How you deal as a paramedic, it's tough because you have to try to help the woman and the wife who's crying and in pain. And then you just couldn't help this guy to stay alive, you know. So then when you go back home, it's difficult because you carry all this kind of stuff, you know, and the mental health for the paramedic, it's a real problem. And that's what the film is about as well, you know, of the healthcare system in the US for the patient, and also the mental health for these paramedics, this emergency community, you know, when they are on the front line, you know, on the poster of the movie, they say, welcome to the front line. It's a real front line, you know, and they have to deal with this kind of stuff, you know. So I was interested to do this movie almost like a war movie, you know, and it's kind of trying to show this reality as something intense, as a front line and death and life, and how it's also, life at the end of the tunnel again.
In the history of American film, New York City has played an incredible prominent role. It's such a character in itself. I couldn't help but notice that when I was watching Asphalt City, there was a scene in the movie where Sean and Ty's characters are driving down a road that looked really similar. And I was trying to think to myself, what is this place? And I thought, hey, that is the place in The French Connection where the big car chase happened. Was that something that was intentional on your part? Did you seek out that place to shooting? Or is that something that just happens to be there because you were shooting in Brooklyn? This street is in South Brooklyn, and it just happened to be to work out that way.
No, it was kind of different stuff. I mean, I live here where I shot, you know, we shot mostly around my house, and I live, the train is right here, you know, so at Norton and Broadway. So I have this kind of train, aerial train, and I thought it was interesting because that's a reference to New York. When you think about New York, you think of the bridge and the train and stuff, and it was also, for me, a way to shoot the city as almost as a body, you know, with the arterias inside the body and stuff or whatever. There was something interesting, you know, with this aerial trend. So we shot a lot of stuff here where they shot, you know, the beginning of French Connection, across by the hospital we shot. In my neighborhood, I saw the signs, and we even the takeout, Chinese takeout, you know, is where it used to be bar before. And that's where they shot, you know, the scene in French Connection. And then we were supposed to shoot all the driving scenes, you know, in the Bronx. For some reason, there were such a traffic that day that we couldn't shoot anything. We had to reshoot this, you know, and the only place they gave us, you know, they gave us the authorization was exactly where they shot, you know, French Connection, because it was a Saturday and it was kind of empty. We could close, you know, the street. And that's why we shot a lot of stuff too, you know. So I was funny because it was not my intention first. I love French Connection and Fred King as a reference and stuff. And as a lot of people, you know, I'm friends with Abel Ferrara, and he shot also his movie King of New York right in the street, you know. And so all these directors, you know, gave us their own vision of New York, and really specific, and Lumet and Pollack and Scorsese and Cassavetes, you know, with Gloria shooting like this in the street and stuff or whatever. So as a director, it's difficult because you say, oh, yeah, there's so many great movies about New York. How am I going to shoot it, you know? And then I said, okay, let's shoot in my neighborhood and my life, you know, as the New York I can see every day, and trying to keep the postcard of New York sometimes, you know. And we changed in the book, you know, the character was living, I think, also in Manhattan. And I said, okay, if we change from the book, you know, and shooting in Brooklyn and also him living in Chinatown, we can have this bridge and we can have this kind of New York, you know, to recreate this kind of New York of cinema, but also the real New York of these days, you know, the Brooklyn, the New York, which kind of disappeared too, you know, in Bushwick and East New York. It's changing a lot, you know, there's the gentrification and all this, but there's still this vibe of the 1890s, which we all love from movies. You know?
I mean, and I absolutely love that part of Asphalt City. And for everyone out there listening, Asphalt City releases in March 29. Ty Sheridan, Sean Penn both delivered terrific performances. This is in my opinion, I think it joins the pantheon of the quintessential New York City movies. You've done fantastic work here. And Jean-Stéphane Sauvoir, I thank you so very much for your time today. Congratulations with the film. I hope we talk again in the future. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you, Mr. Senior. Thank you so much.